morning again.
I feel so refreshed.
Freshly bathed.
It's not even Saturday. It's good to see you today. Glad you're here. We praise the Lord for these that follow the Lord in baptism. You know, He commanded us to remember Him through His supper, remember Him in baptism. And so we do that, and praise the Lord. Today, if you have your Bible, if you turn with me to the 28th chapter of Matthew. Matthew 28. Now, I want to begin reading at verse 11. We'll go down to the end of the chapter. While the women were on their way, this is after the resurrection, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priest everything that had happened. When the chief priest had met with the elders, they devised a plan. They gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You're to say his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. This report gets to the governor. We'll satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. And I'd have to honestly say, even to this very day, that story is being widely circulated. Passover plot written back in the 60s, one of the ones that comes to mind by Schoenfield. People are still trying to spread this lie, but it's not getting any traction. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. You back up a couple of chapters, you'll see. He instructs them to go there. So we have an appointment, an appointed time of Jesus. And when Jesus makes an appointment with you, do you think He has something specific in mind? You better believe it. And He did in this. Verse 17. And when they saw Him, they worshiped Him. But some doubted. Is that happening today? How you can have this person right here, witness the power of God, and one will see the Lord and will worship Him in spirit and truth, and the other one that sees everything, all the same experiences, all the whole deal, and doubts. We have a choice. We get to choose part of our being struck, created in the image of God, that separates us from the rest of His creation. He has given to us the power to choose. That prerogative is a divine gift to us. We get to choose. Verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Let me translate that for you. What that actually means. I've studied it in several languages, in the original language. Here's what it means. All authority has been given to Jesus in heaven and in earth. That is exactly what it means. All authority. It's all under Him. And what do we know that at a future date is going to happen? One day, what's going to happen? Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. What are they going to confess? We just confessed it. Jesus Christ is Lord. Whew, pretty powerful, eh? Okay. So He says, all authority is given. He is the mission. He has died, the perfect Lamb of God, the, the, His passion gift to us, himself. He didn't even hold back. His only son was given unto us. He died on the cross. He was buried, and he is now risen from the dead. And we are seeing those examples. Now, some have linked this, it'd be complicated to show you how this works, but some have linked this experience that somewhere around about this time exactly is when that appearance that Paul refers to, where 500 witnesses saw him. We could go back and forth on that. But he had an appointment with the 11. Now, by this time, Judas is out of the picture. All authority is given me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, actually, the first word in the next sentence is not therefore. You know what the next word is? Let me read it to you literally what it says. Going, like as you're going, therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, uses the article there, so as no doubt the article's understood, but when they write it out, it's like bam, put an exclamation point. In the name of the Father, Yahweh, our Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them, and that's a continuous action thing, to observe all the things that I've commanded you. So, you're going to disciple them, and here's how you're going to do it. You're going to teach them all the body of this that has been revealed to you, and that which is going to be revealed to you. And look, I am with you all the days until the completion of the age. That's literally what it says. Okay, so let's go back to the word going. Jesus believed in natural evangelism. Maybe coining a new phrase here today. Natural evangelism as opposed to unnatural evangelism. As he states here, his first word is going as you go. He's assuming that we're all going to be going somewhere, that we're all going to be living our lives, that this life, he didn't found a new religion. They called them first people of the way. It's a way of life. It's a 24/7. It's not a religious thing that you do on one day of the week and the rest of the week you live like hell. It's not that. It's a way of life. Going. So he's assuming we're going to be going. Let me ask you, where are you going every day? As you go here and yon, what's a week like for you? Who lives? Who inhabits the spaces where you go? How many people do you just walk by, almost tripping over them, and you've not paid attention to them? A little subplot question here. So,
How does Jesus look at those people?
We say that we're the tabernacle of the Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of God, Spirit of Jesus Himself lives in us. And as we go, are we ignoring the people around us? What is Jesus seeing as He goes? You know, Matthew 9, he talks about as he was downcast, he was moved with compassion because and the verse there, another sermon for another day, but it's like he snorted like a horse as he was moved in his innermost, because he was moved about by the people because they were like sheep without a shepherd. I had somebody tell me not long ago, he said, "Preacher, I'm just lost. I've lost my way." Now, there are two categories of people that are away from God. There are those that admit that. And usually those that admit that aren't going to be away from God very long because they've seen the light. And those that are still telling the lie. Let's see how we can fool them today. Let's see how we can tell the story one more time and make up another reason why we feel this in our soul. What are the needs of the people that you're passing by as you're going? Who do they need? It's like a little boy in Sunday school said over and over again, he said, "Man, I know every question the preacher asked, the answer to that question is what? Jesus." Is He the answer? Is He the answer to every question? Can you come back to that? When you look at this book, they've been shooting at this book for thousands of years. The intelligentsia of every generation has been shooting at it. Guess what? Where are their books today? They're on the refuse pile of history. You're going. As you're going, you're seeing people. Who can help these people? Jesus believed in natural evangelism. As you're going, you're going to intersect with people's lives. You're going to be living out the life of Christ. There's no way you can keep within you what He has done in your life. You can't contain it. You got to tell somebody. Eventually, when you sit down with them, you don't have to massage and manipulate a conversation so we can route it towards spiritual things. I guarantee you, if you're honest with most of the people in your life, within just a few minutes of talking to them and being real with them, something spiritual is going to come up, isn't it? If we start listening to what people are saying, start listening to the people around. We've got to get serious today. We've got to get serious about where we stand with the Lord, where we stand as a body of believers, where we stand in the world. I mean, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. Look at it. I mean, did you read the stuff about what Putin did? You know, here he goes to this G20. You know, and by the way, I'll just park my fleet of warships off the coast of Australia just to give you a little shot across the bow to let you know I'm bigger than you. There's a nut. And a nut that has his finger on a nuclear arsenal. And he gets mad because Cameron, the Prime Minister in Britain, and the Australian Prime Minister, both of them confront him face to face. He gets angry. Just one example of something in the world. Folks, it's not about us and about our agenda. What is God doing?
His call to our lives is bigger than all of that stuff, because history is racing to a conclusion. And He's moving in our lives in a natural way. As you're going, you've got to disciple. He didn't say make converts. Did you hear me? He said make disciples, followers, fully devoted followers of Jesus. Not I prayed a prayer, but I'm willing to follow Jesus as Lord of my life. That's who He's calling for. Let me tell you, in New Testament times, if you stood up for your faith in Jesus, what might happen to you? It's death. Places in the world right now, if you stand up for your faith in Christ, what might happen to you? Hey, go to the Voice of the Martyr. Listen, any of the other websites you can go to, but go to that one. Go and look and see what is happening to our Christian brothers and sisters all over the world, because they are standing and saying, Jesus is Lord of my life. Jesus believed in supernatural evangelism also. He said, I am with you. What does that make you and me? Whew. Love what E.V. Hill said years ago. I've quoted him many times. If you don't use His power, what you going to use for power? You don't have any. But with Him, He can orchestrate something. He can break down a wall. And I want you to be thinking today of the people in your life that are separated from Christ. Family members. People who have not yet claimed the name. People that have played around at church and played around and let's get just enough of a vaccination that'll make me all right in men's eyes. Man, I'm not worried about being all right in men's eyes. What does God think? Really, you know, final deal is there's only one opinion that matters. It's His. What does He think? Do I belong to Him? Man, I've planted a bunch of people in the dirt. I've stood over hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of funerals. Watched so many people die. Watched them die. Let me tell you what they're not worried about at the funeral home. What they're not worried about as they're in the hospital and the breath is going out of their body. What they're not worried about is how much money they've got or what anybody else thinks. One opinion. How is it with the Lord? I'll never forget this young gal came to me. This fella, he was a rowdy piece of work. I'd known him since he was a young teenager. His nickname was Reb. Does that give you an idea of what his life was like? Well, he lived up to his name as a rebel. Finally, got thrown in jail. He was stealing checks, writing bad paper on his mom's bank account. Broke into their house. Remember the day when we rode down to Dodge Correctional together? High Sheriff's a good friend of mine said, "Why don't you ride down there with him and let you see what it's like? Man, that's a rough place." All the way over there, Reb was shouting obscenities at the deputy sheriff who was with me. When he got inside, they got his attention. For the next 90 days, he went through that 90-day wonder program. Let me tell you what it did for Reb. It changed his whole attitude. He came out of that. About 9 months later, he was behaving himself. Got sick. Next thing I know, I'm up at Grady Hospital in Atlanta visiting Reb, and Reb's telling me, he said, "Man, I've got cancer and I'm dying." Over the next several weeks, Reb was fighting with the Lord, but finally, I remember the day when Reb said,
You know, Brother Dusty, I want Jesus in my life. He did say Brother Dusty because everybody in the county called me that. And he received Christ into his life. God changed him. He lived another week. And he died. Fast forward now, 3 days, we're at his funeral. And one of his girlfriends, perhaps 19 years old, one of his girlfriends came to me and she grabbed me. Right after the funeral, she said, "I just got to know. I got to know. I got to know." She started shaking me. You know, I mean, it was embarrassing. On one hand, I'm thinking, you know, they're seeing me. What are people going to think? But she got right up in my face. She said, I got to know. I said, and I knew what she wanted to know, but I wanted to hear it from her lips. I said, "I got to know. Did Reb have Jesus in his life?" And I looked at her. I said, "As far as I can tell, I'm not the judge of that. But I heard him make a public profession of his faith there and ask Jesus to come into his life." You see, how many people in your life are like him? Oh, maybe they're not, they haven't gotten into a life of crime or anything like that, but they're separated from the Lord. They're separated from him. And they need Jesus in their life. Do you care enough? Here's a question for you. How many people have you discipled and are discipling right now, have led to the Lord? Hold up, wait a second. Say, "Well, I'm not a preacher. I'm not this. I'm not." That's right, you're not. You're a child of the King. You say, well, "I can't lead anybody." You lead children, don't you? It's one beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. It's just being honest with people. It was a Tasty Freeze early one morning in Middle Georgia, and the Mafia was there. That's the group that solved all the world's problems before 9 o'clock every day. They're in there having their coffee and drinking, and, you know, eating their biscuits and cholesterol. And this guy, a good friend of mine, told me that I'd had this discussion with him. Actually, it was a little bit of a debate, and he said, "Preacher," said, "you know, I can't talk to anybody about Jesus." Said, "You know, I looked at him. I said, "Let me tell you, God has put you in people's lives for a reason, so you can reflect Jesus through your words and your actions to them. You can go places I can't go." He said, "Oh, that's a bunch of fools." He said, "You can go anywhere. You can talk to anybody about Jesus. You know, you've been to seminary and you've studied and you've done all this." I said, "You're wrong." I said, "Places you can go, I can't go." The very next day, I walk into the Tasty Freeze. He's in the middle of this big bunch that's having a big discussion and all. I walk in and I sit down at the table, and guess what happened to the discussion? Guess what? I didn't embarrass him right there, but later on I got him aside. I said, "You see what just happened? You see why sometimes when you introduce me to your friends, I don't want you to introduce me as the preacher? Because what happens? It's just like Star Wars. You can feel the force field go up." And suddenly everybody's got the inoculation. And man, a guy that hadn't talked about Sunday school in years, and man, he's over there singing, "Jesus Loves Me." Man, there's about that much honesty in that.
But before I let him know, I said, before I got there, it was deep, wasn't it? He said, oh yeah, preacher, it gets deep when we get to talking. I said, and those guys in there are honest with you. In fact, some of them get angry with you at times because of honesty, don't they? He said, yeah. I said, well, why not be honest with them about who you belong to and who is Lord of your life? Who is the Lord showing you right now? He got these guys aside. Now listen to me. He got these 11, they're right there. He had made this appointment with them back before his death, burial, and resurrection. You got it? You got the chronology? Now, he has a message he wants to give them. And here's the message. And it's the message I'm delivering to you today. And you've got the choice. You accept it or reject it. Going, and are you going somewhere? Make disciples of all people. It's not up to you to filter out which one get in and don't get in. To filter out by the color of their skin, by their socioeconomic class, by any other means. It's up to you to be the reflector of the glory of God into their lives. And be honest with them. Does that mean you've got to have it all together? Well, if we have to have it all together every day, then I guess that disqualifies all of us. And who was he saying this to? I won't go down the list of these guys. I mean, look at who he's talking to. I mean, let's pick on Peter here. I mean, the guy that goes around, I mean, half the time he goes around with one of these in his mouth. The whole time. Think about it. That's who he's talking to. So is he talking to you? Who's the Lord showing you? Are you praying for these people? I saw somebody not long ago that I'd been praying for a decade. Who finally got rid of religion, got rid of all the garbage, all the stuff, and said yes to Jesus. Repented of their sin. Repentance and faith are two sides of the same coin. When you repent, the word means to think again. To think again. It's a 180. And I turn away from my sin, and I turn to Jesus. So in that sense, repentance and faith are two sides of the same coin. Are you praying over anybody? And here's a damnable question. Are you weeping over anybody? Do you love them enough to weep over them? We'll pray and we'll open the altar. And here's the deal. You've heard it, you've seen it, you've sung it, we've prayed it. Jesus Christ, the Lord of all, went to the cross, died in your place there, was buried, rose on the third day, ascended back to the Father, sat down at the right hand of God, worked, finished. He's coming again real soon to take his people, his body, the body of believers. This Jesus, this same Jesus, is willing to come into your life and make you a new person. Will you receive it? Will you receive it? And there's some of you that have not done that in your life. oh, you've got religion, you've got an inoculation. You can go back and say, oh, I prayed a prayer or something. But was there any difference in your life? Did you become a disciple of Jesus? It's not about your works. For grace you saved through faith. That's not even of yourself. That's a gift from God. Say anything. And do you have people in your life that need Him? Are you willing to weep over them? Because what is the truth? If they die without Jesus, they will be separated from Him forever. The Bible calls that place hell. But there's good news. It's what the word evangelism comes from, the word it means. It's good news. He's got a life for you and for all those in your life. Let's cooperate with the Holy Spirit today. Lord, now as we open the altar, as we pray, as we come before You, Lord, I'm asking You today, break my heart over people in my life that did not belong to You. Lord, it turned the world upside down if Vlad Putin received You in his life. But Lord, I spoke of him earlier, and I want to speak of him publicly, saying I'm asking You to save him, to work in his life, to do Your miraculous work. Lord, there are many on our hearts today, and we bring them before You now. Come. Come, Lord. Because You can do the supernatural. Come. The altar's open. I'll say a prayer over you as you go today. Does anybody need healing? Does anybody need another job or a job period? Does anybody need more money at the job which you're already working at? Does anybody need to be a better steward of the money you already have? Okay. Just want to get it all in there, all right, as we pray together. I want to send you out, but before I do, Hopi had her Sweet 16 party. Thought you were going to dodge it, didn't you? I made it right up to the time of the prayer, and oh, got it. So make sure you make her turn red a little bit. And she's 16, and Priscilla's 19 today. Is that right? Today's Priscilla's birthday. Did you tell her everything? Now, don't be editing what I say. All right. Let's pray together. Lord, thank You for all that we have seen and heard and experienced today. And right now, I'm asking You for Your healing. We're claiming, Lord, You who are the great physician to come and heal bodies, heal relationships, heal homes, heal pocketbooks and wallets, Lord, today in Jesus' name. I'm asking You, Lord, that Your power would be upon us, Lord. I'm asking You for jobs for people. Lord, as we open up to You and ask You, Lord, speak and move and work in our lives. Show us the people in our lives who need Jesus. Show them, Lord. Let us, as we go, going. Now, Lord, as we're going, I ask you, Lord, for the authority of our Father, Yahweh, for the love of the Son, Jesus, the Christ, Yeshua, and for the power of the Holy Spirit to be upon us as we go. Amen. Amen means so be it.